Hi, this is Hugh Cornwell, and welcome to this Mr. DeMille FM podcast. If you have any comments, suggestions, or simply want to get in touch, then please email info@mrdemillefm.com. In this episode, we look at the life of John Garfield, one of the most gifted and highly regarded actors of all time, who died at the height of his career. I hope you enjoy the show.
Your life is a rehearsal, your performance is real. So said John Julius Garfinkel, or John Garfield, the outspoken, rugged, rebellious blue-collar actor who was discovered by Michael Curtiz and became a worldwide Hollywood star in the 1940s. He was born on New York's Lower East Side to Russian emigre parents, and his mother died 2 years after she gave birth to his kid brother Max when he was 7 years old. His father raised them both with the help of relatives in Brooklyn, Queens, and the Bronx, where he joined street gangs and became a gang leader. He said if he hadn't become an actor, he would have become a gangster. He discovered boxing and at a special school for difficult children, discovered acting. He started appearing in plays and then in his teens took off to become a hobo for a while, riding on freight trains, picking fruit, and logging in the Pacific Northwest. He returned to New York and was featured in an Elmore Rice play with Paul Mooney that ran for a total period of 9 months. He was noticed by Warners, but he turned down a screen test. He was more interested in getting into a theatre collective called The Group, started by Lee Strasberg, Cheryl Crawford and Harold Kluman, people he'd associated with at the American Laboratory Theatre earlier. Clifford Odets sang his praises after he appeared in his play, Awaken, Sing, but Garfield became disillusioned when he was passed over for a play he'd been told Odets had written specially for him. He signed a contract with Warners and immediately made a mark in Four Daughters, in 1938, with Claude Rains gaining an Oscar nomination for Best Supporting Actor. Here's the bridal chorus from Lohengrin by Richard Wagner.
Thank you.
This was followed by They Made Me a Criminal in 1939, a rare dramatic picture from Busby Berkeley, who pleaded with Warners to let him direct it. Garfield plays a boxer who believes he's killed someone while drunk and goes on the run. Here's The Whip by Abe Holtzman, played before the fights. This film also starred Claude Rains, and Garfield was to make five films with him by 1940. Meanwhile, a B-movie, Blackwell's Island, with Garfield reunited with Paul Mooney, sat on the shelf, and Warners upgraded it to an A-movie by drafting in their top director, Michael Curtiz, to shoot extra footage. He was, after all, one of their top names by now. He featured in a string of films noir and crime dramas, playing the misunderstood hard guy wrongly accused who didn't need anyone's help. He worked again for Curtiz in The Seawolf with Edward G. Robinson and Ida Lupino, which was critically acclaimed. He then made his first war film, Air Force, by Howard Hawks in 1943. This was followed by Thank Your Lucky Stars, about the singer Eddie Cantor, in which Garfield plays himself and sings Blues in the Night.
It all began way back when my mama don't told me when I was in knee pants. My mama don't told me, John, I'll never forget the day my mama don't told me. She picked me up on her lap and stroked my golden curls. I was just 19 at the time, and she said, a woman's a two-faced, a worrisome thing, oh, leave you to sing the blues in the night. Now the rains are falling, now the trains are calling, a hooey, the hooey. Sure, it's a lot of hooey. I heard a train whistle, see? So I blew town. Then I met up with the rat that started me and I wrote the crime. Fish Eye Louie. I wanted to kill him. I grabbed him by the throat. I squeezed and squeezed. John. I wanted to pay him back, John, for making me an outlaw. John. Shunned by society. John. A stinker.
Let go.
But he got away. From Natchez to Sing Sing, from Memphis to Alcatraz, wherever the rock piles grow. I've been in the best jails. Why, sure, I've seen me the best frails. And then just like my mama done told me, I met a two-faced woman. Two-Kisser Bessie was her name. Ah, they was handy, those two faces. She could crack a safe and look out for the cops at the same time. She was nuts about me, till she fell for another guy, Fisheye Louie. I wanted to knock him off, see? So I went to his hideout, and I broke down the door. But he wasn't there, so I waited for him. I nabbed him. I squeezed and squeezed. Gun. I squeezed harder and harder. Gun. Suddenly I hear the sirens. Woo! The bulls. Ooh. Somebody tipped them off. Somebody squealed at the cops. My mama don't told him. My old lady. A stool pigeon. I'm trapped. Trapped like a rat. They're coming in on me. They're getting closer. Closer. Brrr, they got me. Oh, mama. Mama, I gotta talk fast now. You was right. I've been in some big towns. I heard me some big talk. But there's one thing I know. I can't die till I get even with Fisheye. Fisheye! A woman's a two-faced, a worrisome thing will leave you to sing the blues in the night.
Garfield had been turned down by the armed forces because of a heart complaint, so he turned to supporting the war effort by entertaining the troops, selling war bonds, and appearing in a string of outstanding war movies. Destination Tokyo with Cary Grant was followed by Hollywood Canteen in 1944. Here's the Jimmy Dorsey Orchestra playing the King Porter Stomp. In 1945, he played Al Schmid, the real-life blinded Marine returning home. Here's Brahms' Symphony No. 4 in E minor, Opus 98, First Movement.
Thank you.
Garfield's relationship with Warner's wasn't a happy one. He was suspended no fewer than 11 times for refusing to take on a role given to him. He thought, quite rightly, they were pushing him into the same roles, and he wanted to expand his acting range. Their argument was that the public made the decisions and saw him in a certain way, and they were giving the public what it wanted. His original contract was a unique one anyway. He was allowed time off each year to spend acting in something of his own choice, unheard of beforehand. In 1946, his last year under contract proved to be his most successful, spawning The Postman Always Rings Twice with Lana Turner, Nobody Lives Forever, directed by Gene Negulesco, and Humoresque with Joan Crawford, also directed by Negulesco. The Postman Always Rings Twice was based on the novel by James M. Cain and contains the classic scene where Lana Turner's lipstick rolls across the floor to land at Garfield's feet. The camera follows the floor back to her feet and then up her body. It's Garfield's point of view. He picks up the lipstick and offers it back to her. She's expecting him to bring it to her, but he doesn't. She has to go to him. A fantastic moment. It was the third time the book had been filmed, and it was touch and go if it could be adapted in such a way to gain a major release. It sat on MGM's shelf for 6 years, and the chemistry between Garfield and Turner is electric. Here's the theme by George Bassman. Nobody Lives Forever is an almost perfect film noir. Garfield is excellent as the ex-GI involved in a scam to fleece a widow of some money. The supporting cast are very good, led by Walter Brennan and Geraldine Fitzgerald. Humoresque was Garfield's final film for Warners and couldn't fail, coming the year after Joan Crawford's success in Mildred Pierce. He plays a talented violinist from the poor side of New York, and she a moneyed socialite in a romance doomed from the start. There are some brilliant special effects in which Garfield appears to be playing virtuoso violin. Negulesco employed two violinists, one bowing and one fingering, who stood either side of Garfield in many sequences. Here's a montage of some fine music by Franz Waxman with Isaac Stern.
Thank you.
was in Best Picture Oscar winner Gentleman's Agreement with Gregory Peck in 1947, the same year he gained Best Actor nomination for Body and Soul. It was at this time that communist scaremongering hit Hollywood, and he was called before the House Un-American Activities Committee, or HUAC. His statement contained the following: "I have nothing to hide and nothing to be ashamed of. My life is an open book. I am no red. I am no pink. I am no fellow traveller. I am a Democrat by politics, a liberal by inclination, and a loyal citizen of this country by every act of my life." His appearance severely damaged his reputation, but he made four very good films noir before his death: Force of Evil, Under My Skin, The Breaking Point, and He Ran All the Way. This is David Rexin's suite from Force of Evil. He was barred from being employed as an actor by Hollywood studio bosses and suffered greatly as a result. He fell victim to heart problems at the age of 39, and his funeral was attended by crowds not seen for an actor since Rudolph Valentino. It was a tragic end to a talented actor's career. Garfield was truly one of the greats. I leave you with Micheline Pressler singing Viendras tu ce soir from Under My Skin.
Viendras-tu me voir ce soir? Le ciel est rempli d'étoiles, comme pendant la nuit où tu m'avais promis ton amour pour la vie. Viendras-tu me voir ce soir?
Hi, sweetness.
toi qui me poursuis sans cesse. Je voulais t'oublier, oublier tes promesses, oublier ma folie. Mais c'est en vain car le destin t'a placé sur mon chemin. Ce destin qui, bien malgré moi, me fait demander chaque fois: viendras-tu me voir ce soir avant que le jour se lève, avant que mon beau rêve s'efface?
Mais au moins tu m'offres une consommation.
Oui. Et que tout soit fini.
Quelque chose ce soir, hein?
Je ne peux plus vivre sans toi. Tu sais bien que je t'aime. N'as-tu pas compris à ma voix combien lourde est ma peine?
Mais qu'est-ce que tu as? Tu as l'air triste, toi.
Viendras-tu me voir ce soir avant que le jour se lève, avant que mon beau rêve s'efface dans la nuit et que tout soit fini?